at Southall School in Telford. Good afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon.
Put us out of our misery. What is a microbit mini computer?
Well, it's an incredible bit of kit which has been designed just for children to program. And you do the programming online and then you download your little program to this tiny device, which is only 4 centimetres by 5, and it'll actually record what you've written as a program. And then you unplug it from your computer and then you can play it back. So I'm looking at one now and I've got a little message, a welcome message, and then I've got a little smiley face. And I've just programmed that within 30 seconds, really. So what we're trying to do is to try and get the children to be really creative and sort of do exciting programming rather than just playing games online.
You said you did that in 30 seconds. Is it easy for anyone to learn how to use one of these as quickly as that?
Well, it'll depend on the parental involvement. We're given the choice to the parents whether they want to keep the microbit in school or have it at home. I'm a bit worried that they're just going to get lost in drawers, at the bottom of drawers, and they just won't be used. So it will require parents to get involved. So we're doing a lot of publicity in Telford and Shropshire to try and get parents to take an interest and develop little programs with their students, with
Richard,
their children.
I have three, and I don't even think I know what programming is.
Well, it used to be called just information technology, but now officially it's called computing because we're trying to get children to create programs rather than just consume other people's programs. So, therefore, designing phone apps rather than just downloading other people's apps.
But how do you do that? How do you design?
So, first of all, you've got to come up with an idea, and then you've got to come up with a little flowchart to say what you want your program to do or your app, and then you transfer that into a code. So in primary schools, it's called drag and drop block coding, and there'll be little instructions, and you just link them together like Lego blocks. And then when the children get to year 8 and year 9, we're expecting them to actually type in the commands, and they've got to be really careful about the accuracy. So it's not easy, and not every child really, it's not going to suit every child, and that's where it's going to have to be supported by parents, and that's a concern for me. So,
it's a concern for me, Richard, because I just think, oh my goodness, at the moment, even a 10-year-old maths, I have to go away and go, just one moment, and then I go next door and quickly YouTube how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, YouTube is a little bit of a worry, and that sort of brings me on to sort of the safety concerns. Like today in a school, they've got iPads, and I was saying that there's a YouTube for Kids app, and they should put that on because parents can just leave their children in front of an iPad or a tablet, and it's frightening what they can get onto.
So this is getting everyone involved, really. And is this the future? Is it crucial that schools have this kind of technology so that children could learn, you know, what they could be using when they go out to work?
Definitely. I mean, I used to teach in a secondary maths in a school in Telford, and I've got into this because I can see loads and loads of potential and links with mathematics. So it's not just a geeky standalone subject. If you think of designing an app, you've got to make sure you think of the audience. So there's a whole lot of literacy type stuff about advertising what you're doing and making sure it's appropriate for the audience.
Do you wish you'd had this sort of technology when you were at school?
Well, showing my age, when I started teaching, we had the BBC Micro. So it's quite ironic that we've had to wait 30 years for this follower. But it's so exciting for a million of these to be going. They're only going to year 7, so we've got to think about how to make this sustainable. I think people will be able to buy them online quite soon. For, say, maybe £4, £5.
Oh.
And if you think of the Raspberry Pi, you might have heard of the Raspberry Pi.
Yes.
That's very cheap now, and it's the quickest selling computer in the world. So lots of people are buying these. But my worry is that it'll only be the children that got supported parents. That's why it's vital for people like me to try and get every child to be doing this in school as well as at home.
Well, unless you give idiot classes to parents, that's not going to happen, is it?
No, I mean, you mentioned YouTube. I create lots of YouTube tutorials so parents and children can actually go on and have a look at those.
Thank goodness.
You know, my little website, www.amazingict.co.uk, it's full of tutorials. And it is nice when I go into my next school after a week of not being there, and they'll say, oh, I've just watched your tutorial that you've done. And that makes it worthwhile.
So they missed you.
Like you say, children do learn from online materials rather than books in terms of problem solving now.
Richard, thank you so much for your time today. It's very exciting news. We will see where it develops. And watch out, you know now what to do with a microbit mini computer. That's Richard Smith, the owner of Amazing ICT.
I seriously need an idiot's guide. I need teaching. I need a class.